With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. The potential for Medicaid expansion in South Dakota just got more complicated. Dakotans for Health wants a ballot measure next year to let voters decide on expanded coverage. They're now asking the state Supreme Court to delay a legislative resolution that increases the number of votes needed for a ballot question to pass. Rick Weiland is with the group. He says the legislature's move thwarts the will of the voters.
And it intentionally stopped a grassroots effort to bring healthcare and hundreds of millions of dollars back to our state, federal dollars that we pay in. And we think it's wrong.
Lawmakers passed a joint resolution asking voters to change how many votes it takes to pass ballot questions that raise taxes or spend $10 million. Instead of a simple majority, it would take 60% to pass. Legislators placed their resolution on the 2022 primary ballot. That's just months before the Medicaid expansion measure would appear on the general election ballot. South Dakota voters rejected a similar threshold increase for constitutional amendment questions in 2018. The South Dakota Supreme Court has heard a second appeal stemming from a battle over a family ranch near Pukwana. Attorneys for both sides of the Healy family dispute made their cases before justices Tuesday. One issue is whether a lower court erred by not including costs around $100,000 of attorneys' fees. Victoria Wicks has more of this story for SDPB.
Brett Healy sued his family in 2017 to challenge the sale of the ranch. A lower court judge found that his lawsuit was frivolous and malicious and awarded more than $83,000 in attorney's fees to the family. Brett Healy appealed that decision to the South Dakota Supreme Court, which in 2019 affirmed the lower court and awarded another $18,000 plus in attorney's fees. The case went back to the lower court with a different judge. In late summer 2020, he voided legal fees after finding that the earlier record did not establish Healy's intentions when he filed suit. Joe Erickson represents Brett Healy's family, who appeal that ruling.
This case can be best described as the same song, second verse, of Brett Healy's continued litigation of his Healy Ranch partnership claim.
Erickson says Brett Healy filed a claim of interest to slander the title and prevent the sale. And he says state law allows attorney's fees as costs under those circumstances.
There was evidence presented to the court, and the judge went through and made different findings and conclusions of law, and this court affirmed those findings.
The attorney for Brett Healy disagrees.
Appellant describes this case as a second verse of the same song, but I think it's more apt to describe this case as perhaps a subsequent song on the same album.
Angie Schneiderman says in its 2019 opinion, the Supreme Court left ownership of the ranch to be settled later. Schneiderman says Brett Healy did not file his lawsuit to botch the sale of the ranch, but to establish title.
When I think about this case being couched in terms of being a quiet title action, essentially what that does is a plaintiff saying to the world, tell us your claims to this property or forever hold your peace.
Schneiderman says as long as there are still existing disputes, the case is not over. Supreme Court justices have taken the case under advisement and once again will issue an opinion at a later date. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
South Dakotans can now text 911 in an emergency. Anyone unable to call for help can instead send a text, which is then routed to a local dispatch center. Craig Price is the cabinet secretary for the South Dakota Department of Public Safety. He says texting can be good for individuals who are deaf, hard of hearing, or speech impaired. Text to 911 is also meant for situations where speaking loudly may put the caller in danger. But Price says it's not always the best option.
And if you're driving, we don't want you to be using texting 911 for sure. So if you're in a situation where you otherwise can't call 911, this texting is that option, but we certainly want to make sure people do it in a safe manner and in a safe situation to not put themselves into any further type harm.
Price recommends keeping the text short and simple. Send the location, type of emergency, and avoid using abbreviations or slang. Be prepared to answer questions and follow instructions from the 911 operator. Low soil moisture may lead to a spring with no major floods in South Dakota. National Weather Service reports show drought conditions could expand without more rain or snow. Weather officials say March precipitation improved drought conditions in the state. The West and Southeast are now in moderate to severe drought. Climatologist Pat Gwinnan says drought conditions for most of the Midwest may worsen this summer.
Even all of the Corn Belt is forecasting a slight enhanced likelihood of above normal temperatures this summer. And that dryness, it looks like it was shifted a little bit further north and northeastward for the summer for below normal precipitation, with the highest likelihood extending from Montana through the Dakotas, most of the Dakotas, western Minnesota, northwest Iowa, all of Nebraska, and northern Kansas.
The U.S. Drought Monitor reports all of South Dakota remains dry. Doug Kluck directs Midwest Climate Services for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He says a weather pattern that brings cold weather to the upper portion of the United States is dying down, but may reemerge later this year.
There is evidence that as we call it, a double dip, or 2 years in a row of La Nina will occur this fall. That's when it usually rematerializes, if you will.
The National Weather Service reports a higher than average chance of precipitation for most of the state through the end of March. Meteorologists expect South Dakota to see above average temperatures from now until June. Wind Cave National Park has reopened tours after closing last year. There are some new restrictions in the cave to assure public safety. SDPB's Kyle Ireland has more.
The cave shut down late last June when the elevator system that takes tourists into the cave malfunctioned. The mechanical problems, along with the pandemic, forced Wind Cave to remain closed longer than planned. Tom Farrell is the chief of interpretation at Wind Cave National Park. He says one of the goals in reopening is to keep people safe.
So what we're doing is that we're eliminating the number of people on tours by 50%, which will allow social distancing once you're in the cave. And then I'm just putting in safety measures both on the surface and in the cave to provide for the safety of the visitors and for the staff itself.
Farrell says the limits on tour sizes means tickets will sell out quickly.
And come early and to get a ticket. A lot of times what we encourage people to do is stop by in the morning, grab a ticket, go out and explore the Southern Black Hills, and then come back in later in the day, take a tour.
Wind Cave is world famous for a calcite cave formation called Boxwork. Farrell says that, combined with the history and culture of the national park, make for an exciting time in the Black Hills.
It's a fantastic place. The human history story there is fantastic. Caves are like people. They're all a little different, and everybody has a story to tell.
Wind Cave was the seventh national park established and the first cave to be designated a national park anywhere in the world. Reporting for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Kyle Ireland.
That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.